It's when you get a gray day out there. It's kind of interesting. I walked out my front door and I looked to the left and it's sunny and bright. And then I looked to the right and it's dark. You could just see it rolling in. So we're in for a day of some rain, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 20. We're going to take a look at a scripture there as you turn there, I'll kind of set you up as to where we're going to be going as we start a new series this week called Authority. We're going to take the next 7 weeks. And we're going to talk about this thing called authority because the Bible has a lot to say about it. And we are going to go just a few different directions because if we don't understand what God has to say about authority, we're going to miss what the true power is behind the authority that He gives to us, that He says that we can walk in. Many of us don't have trouble understanding authority when you're driving down the road and you see a car that has some lights that are lit up. What do? You pull over to the side of the road. If a policeman were to come to you and say, freeze, halt, stop, you know, whatever he says, you are typically supposed to respect that and submit to that. I say typically because some of us today don't understand this principle of authority, and therefore we have some problems. Now, God has called us to live by grace. He gives that to us, but in the absence of His grace, law will step in. And so we have the opportunity as we go through this series to say, Lord, what do you want to speak to us by your grace that we can learn about authority so that we don't have to learn about it through the law? Luke chapter 20, just kind of a point of reference or a moment where I saw the authority of Jesus being challenged. You ever have your authority challenged? Do you have kids? Have you ever been a kid? Okay, you know what it's like to challenge that authority. Luke chapter 20, verse 1 says this. It says, one day as Jesus was teaching the people in the temple and preaching the gospel, the chief priests, the scribes, the elders came up and said to him, who do you think you are? Basically, it's not what it says in the Bible. It says, tell us by what authority do you do these things? Or who has given you this authority? And he answered them and said, you know what? I will also ask you a question and tell me, what was the baptism of John from heaven or from man? And they discussed it with one another. And he said, if we say heaven, he'll say, why did you not believe? But if we say from man, all the people are going to stone us to death, for they're convinced that John was a prophet. So they answered that they did not know where it came from. And Jesus said, then neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. There's an interesting portion of scripture for me as I read this because I thought, I don't understand this. Why are they questioning his authority? And I learned as I was starting to prepare this was they really, it's not that they questioned his authority because they wanted to understand what his authority was so they could submit to it. They wanted to know what authority he had so they could remove it. That's what they wanted to do. By what authority do you do these things, they said? Or who has given you this authority? And behind their minds back here was, we want to know so we can take them out. Because we don't want any submission going on. It's a big thing in the Bible. Submitting to authority. You see many religious people in the Bible that understand submission because they want people to submit to them. But a true disciple understands that they are the ones that submit to authority and therefore become empowered by the Holy Spirit. So over the next few weeks, we're going to take some time. This morning, what I want to attempt to do is simply kind of set the stage, so to speak. Talking about some principles of authority. The next few weeks, we're going to be talking about some promises that come through that. From that, we're going to be talking about when you don't submit to authority and deception steps in, how that wreaks havoc and what we can do if we find ourselves there. We're going to eventually end the series talking about the true authority God has given us and the power of binding and loosing, because some of us are walking around bound up in our life, not understanding we have the keys that can set us free, but we don't know how to use them and we don't know what they are. So we'll take a look at that. Now, in each of our lives, every person here that's here today, every person that is not here today, has to submit to some kind of an authority. Yet authority is often misunderstood. In fact, there's times where many of us will find ourselves at odds with authority. We'll have disagreements at times, but whether it's a teacher or an employer, a police officer, a government official, there's even times when we see these authorities as less than competent. All you have to do is look at the news, and there's fights in this world that are challenging authority that God has placed. Now, don't get me wrong. If there's an authority that we see in our life, God has placed that authority there. Okay? Do you understand that? Do you agree with that? Okay, well, there's going to be times where you may not agree, But does it change the fact that God has placed that authority there? No. And he says, what are we supposed to do? Well, we're supposed to respect that. We're supposed to submit to that. But how do I respect and submit to something that I don't necessarily like? This is a key thing that we're going to be looking at, because if we don't get this, we're going to be confused and we're going to miscommunicate some things. So today we're going to try to clear up some of this, and in doing so, we'll see why authority is an issue that's very important to God. Very important to God. And it's important to him because we clear up this misunderstanding. Otherwise, things get jumbled around. It reminded me of a news article I pulled out of the, it's a California newspaper. They published it, and it reveals just how miscommunication can really screw things up, basically. And Monday, this ad was run, and it said, for sale. The Reverend R.D. Jones has one sewing machine for sale. Phone after 7 p.m. and ask for Mrs. Kelly, who lives with him, cheap. And that wasn't the right wording of the article, so they resubmitted it the next day, Tuesday. Notice, we regret having aired in Reverend R.D. Jones' ad yesterday. It should have read, one sewing machine for sale, cheap. Phone and ask for Mrs. Kelly, who lives with him after 7 p.m. Still wasn't right, and the Reverend was getting a little upset. He said, reword that. So they did, and they said, the Reverend R.D. Jones has informed us as a newspaper that he's been receiving numerous annoying phone calls because of our error we made in the classified ad yesterday. His ad stands corrected as follows. For sale. The Reverend R.D. Jones has one sewing machine for sale, cheap. Phone and ask for Mrs. Kelly, who loves with him. Which was incorrect. Thursday, the Reverend posted this in the paper and said, I, Reverend R.D. Jones, have no sewing machine for sale. I smashed it. Don't call my phone number. It has been disconnected. Also, I have not been carrying on with Mrs. Kelly until yesterday. She was my housekeeper, but this morning she quit. Many times, if we don't get the right information, it's going to lead to miscommunication, which is going to lead to error in our life, and then we're going to wonder why we're walking in this error of miscommunication. Why don't things work? Why is it when God says, I've given you authority to tread on scorpions and snakes and to be an overcomer, why is it that at times I don't feel like I'm an overcomer? Sometimes we miss some basic principles that God has for us. And so today I just kind of want to lay that foundation, because there's great leaders that we have in our lives. There's people that maybe are not so great, but if they're a leader, we're called to respect them. We're called to pray for them. We're called to submit to them, and we need to understand that principle. Whether it's the president, whether it's the coach, whether it's a teacher, your boss, or your parents, yet sometimes, actually, some of these leaders are going to have deficiencies in their life, deficiencies that will hamper their leadership abilities, and maybe it's a personality problem. Maybe it'll be a character flaw. The good news is that God is able to work through every leader. It doesn't matter if we think they're good or bad. If they're in a position of authority, God can use them. Our responsibility is to learn what our role is in submitting to that leadership. Change if we need to, and respond correctly to those leaders that God has placed in our lives. It's really quiet in here, so either you don't really care about hearing about this, or you're like, oh great, here we go on this tangent. You see, we've got to develop our response to authority. We've got to work on this, because too many times we respond in ways that say it's about what I want, it's about what I think, it's about what I feel, but that's not what God says in his word. He's saying, what is our role? And if changes are needed, how can we help bring them about in a positive way? These are key questions we will all face in our lives. We're all going to walk through this, especially as we work for various employers, as we appeal to parents or elders or those that we're called to respect and learn to work together with others. So appealing to authority, it's truly the key to becoming a respected worker and a leader yourself. So let's take a little closer look. There's somebody in the Bible I'm going to refer to, and I'm not going to go read his whole story right now because the time, you know, will limit that. But in the book of Daniel talks about a man who understood what it meant to submit to authority. He understood this immensely. You know, right off the top, we should know this too, that Satan has a good reason to bring deception in the area of authority, okay? He has a good reason. More than any other area, he's going to try to cloud your understanding. He's going to try to cloud my understanding on this one topic. And the reason is this, because the enemy, it's all about a spirit of rebellion. Is what it is. It's all about a spirit of rebellion. It caused his own downfall at the very beginning. If you go back in Genesis and take a look, you'll see that he opposed the authority of God. And when he opposed the authority of God, it led to the biggest demotion of all time. He went, He went from leading heaven's choir to leading all of the fallen angels. And for some reason, he still thinks that that's a good thing because he's a leader. But yet, there's that spirit of rebellion. He opposed the authority that was placed before him, and he was demoted, booted, kicked out of heaven. And now the enemy wants to take each and every one of us with him. And what tool is he going to use but the one that he fell victim to, which was disrespecting authority, which was doing everything you can to take a shortcut, because at the core of it, taking a shortcut, you may have a boss in your life that says, I want you to do A, then B, then C. And you may look at it and go, but that doesn't make sense. That's stupid. If I went A, then C, then B, we would actually save 25 minutes, but you would be disrespecting authority. But I'd save 25 minutes. I saved him money. I helped him out. No, what you did was you disrespected his authority. Well, that doesn't make sense. Now, it's not about making sense. Like we think, well, because what you're saying when you say it doesn't make sense, you're saying, well, if I were God, I would do it this way. The problem is you and I, we're not God. And God in his word says, just respect authority. But if I do A, then B, then C, we're going to lose time. It's all right. Because God can work through that. God can handle that. Maybe your boss is going to learn something through this. Maybe this is an opportunity for him to learn or gain some wisdom. But if you're not willing to surrender, submit to authority, you both will miss out. So, Satan is here on earth to deceive us into doing what, what he did, and that's rebel against God's authority. However, nothing can come against God's ultimate plan, okay? Nothing can thwart that. God will provide a way for you to stand against the wiles of the enemy. So how can we defend ourselves against the enemy's plan? To answer that, this is where we look at the life of Daniel. Daniel was a man who understood authority. The Old Testament tells the exciting details of his life. He served under authority of not one, not two, not three, but four different kings. Four different kings. He had four different bosses that rolled into town. A lot of times when businesses take over in companies, what happens when a new CEO rolls in? Well, they can get rid of some people and they can bring new people in. And Daniel was a person who was expendable, at least in the eyes of the king that came in. But yet you saw four kings change and Daniel remained. Why? Because Daniel understood authority. He understood that if he respects those who God has placed, even if he doesn't agree with them, God can use him right where he's at. Those leaders, why do you think they kept him? They kept him because they understood, this is a man who respects my authority. He doesn't necessarily agree with me on everything, but he's doing what I tell him to do. And what boss or employer wouldn't want an employee that is eager and ready and willing to serve, not only in physical form, but with a good attitude? You know, that's a recognizable trait in Daniel's life. Here's another cool thing about Daniel's life. God's perfect will for Daniel was able to be fulfilled and not thwarted by bad authority. See, there was authority that stepped in there that wasn't legitimately right and didn't know everything, but God still used Daniel in the midst of that. Maybe you're in a place right now where you're working. Maybe you're in a place where you're serving and the authority that you're under may not be the best, or maybe it's off, and you're saying, I understand why they're doing that. God's less concerned with correcting your boss, and he's more concerned with correcting your heart. He's more concerned with, are you gonna respect and are you gonna submit to that authority? Well, I don't think God would have me submit to that authority. Well, there may come a time where God will move you out of that, but until that time, you respect the authority that you're under. It's a biblical principle. Daniel worked through that. Daniel was able to accomplish much in his life. And because he did so, respected authority. God honored Daniel so much that you don't hear much about the kings in the book of Daniel, but you hear a lot about Daniel, don't you? You don't hear a lot about how great this king was, how great that king was, how great that... No, what you hear is you hear Daniel, who's a mighty man of God, who didn't falter or waver and still served and prayed to God, even though thrown into the lion's den, he still served God. See, that's how valuable understanding authority is going to be. It's valuable to God, and it will become valuable to us. So as we look at what authority is, in your outlines, there's an outline in your bulletin. I didn't tell you that, but at the top at Romans 13, it talks about authority, and it says this. It says, let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities. Let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, he who resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God and will receive condemnation upon themselves. You may not agree with what your city officials think or do. You may not agree with what you think law enforcement can, could, or should do. You may not agree with the presidential elections, however they turn out in the past or in the present or in the future. But the Bible's very clear. Let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities, to those that God has placed in leadership. The New Testament affirms this authority or these governing authorities. This doesn't just mean that the government. It also includes any authority that God has placed over your life during a season. So the question is what season are you going through where you're dealing with some leadership? Whether it be a boss, whether it be a mentor, a leader, a teacher, a coach, whatever it might be, that is leading you. You see, it can be a short season. That season can be a long season. But whatever the length of the season, you'll have authorities who will help to govern your life. You know, in my life, seasons had changed. I started working at the age of 16. And I would like to say, think of myself as a pretty good worker. Now, I had a job ever since I was 16. But the reason was not because I was such a good worker. It's because I wanted money. That was my, you know, that's my motivating factor. But I always had a job. But the one thing is I always liked change. So I was always changing jobs. And every time I changed a job, and that might have been a little bit of a flaw in my life. You know, maybe I needed to commit a little bit more. But I tell you what, I learned, no matter where I went, every time I changed and that season changed, there was a change in authority of who was going to be my boss, who was going to be my supervisor. And I had to submit or be willing to, even if I didn't agree, even if I didn't like them. Why? Because they're the boss, I'm not. And the moment they don't like my performance and the moment I start to disrespect them is the moment that I can start losing my job. And, you know, recently before we went to Bible college, I had a couple of pretty good solid jobs and I worked for Reliable Service at an appliance repair store. And I had a couple bosses who to this day, I look back and I love them so much. I respect them so much. But I didn't necessarily respect them all the time or agree with them all the time. There were times where they'd tell me to do something. I'd be like, I don't want to do that. What do you think? I am a stooge. I'm not going to, you know, and I started getting this attitude. I could have that attitude all day long, and it doesn't change the fact that my boss wants me to do this. Now, I can do it and get it done, or I can spend the next 4 hours complaining and still have that job to do. I had a choice to make. And I'll tell you what, there were times where they talked to me, they scolded me, they told me what they thought, and they didn't hold any punches. They didn't give me the good Christian version, okay? They gave me the real world version. And I had to learn to read between the lines, but you know what? They were trying to show me, they were trying to teach me, my job was to still submit and respect that authority. I jumped ships, you know, eventually and went over to RJS Electronics, took a higher upgrade kind of a job where I was doing alarm systems, and I used to butt heads with the boss, but it doesn't mean that I disrespected them. They wanted input. You had to learn, well, what's the balance? Because the moment that you start disrespecting authority, you start disrespecting God, the authority that He's placed. See, the Scripture tells us about some foundational understandings of authority. It says every authority, not just some authorities, not just the authority that you agree with, but every authority has been given to us by God. In other words, there is no authority except from God, and all those that exist are established by God. So, we've got an understanding that any authority that you are under today, if you are here today and you are employed at a business, you have authorities that are over you. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're saying, well, I don't have a job. I'm a stay-at-home mom. I take care of things at home. So I am the authority, right? No, there's authority that you're under as well, as we'll see in a moment. If you're a single, if you're a stay-at-home mom and there's a husband in your life, there's an authority figure that's in your life, but this is where the world twists it and turns it. They start saying, you know, man runs this house. What I say goes, and I don't know why men have to hike their britches every time they try to think about authority. Why is it when they talk about authority, they grab their pants? I don't get it, but you know, man this house. And I think it's because they're holding on to their pants because they know they can lose them real quick. Now, what I'm talking about, and we're going to see in the next few weeks, we're going to go back to Genesis and see where God established this order to authority. Not about, I'm the man, you're the woman, what I say, go. No. Just, there's an order. God is a God of order. Do you agree? Okay, He's not a God of chaos. And when we go back and we look, we're going to see how He established and set this up so that if we want to understand what it means to walk in His authority, submitting and surrendering so that we can have fruitfulness in our life, then we'll do it His way, not ours. The reason guys grab their pants and pull out and say, I'm the man, is because we don't understand God's order. We don't understand that. He says, yeah, you may be the man, but that's all you are is a man. God is God, and we have to submit to his authority. And his word tells us that we're to come to this place where we understand what it means to walk in this. So I want to give you just a few principles about authority. And number one is this. Write this down. Everyone must be under authority throughout their life. Everyone. There's no exceptions. Everyone must be under authority. Now, if you're here today and I said that and inside of you, there's a little twinge that just went, oh, not me, Jack. You know, it's probably because there's been hurt in your life. It's probably because you've been stung by authority. Now, I'm not saying that if that's you, that, oh, great, I'm done for. I can never understand this. No, you can. But if you've been hurt by authority figures in your life, whether it be a previous spouse, a mom and a dad, something that happened in some weird capacity that I can't even come up with now, but an authority figure came and there was abuse or there was pain or there was hurt in your life, know this, God wants to heal that in your life. And he can and he will. All he's asking you to do is submit to him so he can heal your heart. He wants to heal your heart. Because the truth is everyone must be under authority throughout their life. And if you have that hurt in your life, what you'll want to do is go, not me, Jack. I did that once and I won't do that again. You are going to be under somebody's authority. If you're not under his, you're going to be under somebody else's. No, not me. I'm under my own authority. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. Eventually something will happen that will put you in a place where you realize you're under somebody else's authority. The choice is, do you want to be under his authority or do you want to just keep that subject to what the world has to offer? Everyone must be under authority throughout their life. So we will never outgrow the need for authority. In fact, we're commanded to be under authority all the time. We find this affirmed in the scriptures. 1 Peter 5:5 says, be subject to your elders. And all of you clothe yourself with humility towards one another, for he's opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. God says, throughout our lives, every one of us needs to be under authority. It's something we must choose to do. So the question this morning is whose authority are you going to choose to be under? Ultimately, we'd all say, well, God. But who has God placed in your life that is an authority figure that maybe you're having a hard time surrendering or submitting to? I would just pose this question. Maybe the problem isn't with who you're submitting to, and maybe the problem is in here somewhere. Because I look at a Daniel who can submit to leaders who he doesn't agree with, and God causes him to flourish. I think God wants us to flourish, but we have to understand what he has to say about authority. Some of us will say, no, I can't do that because I can't live in the shadow of somebody else. But maybe it's not a shadow as much as it is shade that God's bringing into your life. You know, if you were walking through a desert and it was so hot and you were parched, I mean, it's so dry, your lips are just cracking at the seams because you want some relief from the heat that's beating down on you, and all of a sudden a tree is there. What are you going to do? You look at the tree and say, no, I'm not going to be under the shadow of a tree. No, you're going to say, man, I'm getting under that shade. Why? Because it brings relief. It brings a coolness. It drops the temperature in your body. You can rest a little bit more. So I would submit to you today that maybe it's a little bit less of living in the shadow of somebody. And when we talk about authority, it's about a shade that God wants to bring into your life. When you understand authority correctly, it will be like a shade, not living in a shadow. However, if you see authority as a shadow all the time, you're going to have a wrong attitude towards it. And then you won't be able to receive from it. Its benefits will be lost on you. Don't do it. Learn an important lifelong lesson and receive from the shading benefits of being under authority. Many times people think, well, you're a pastor. You're the boss. You call the shots. No, there's an authority in my life. I have a district supervisor. You've met him and you've seen him. There's other people in my life that I submit to and surrender to. Why? Because it's a wise thing to do. Otherwise, if you're left with yourself, you're in trouble. I know if I'm left with myself, I'm in trouble. So, what are these sheltering trees in your life of authority? Maybe they're parents who have authority over their children. Maybe it's teachers who have authority over students. Maybe it's employers who have authority over employees. As a citizen, government is the authority over you, over me, over our country. The Bible also includes that a husband and wife have mutual authority over one another, which we'll talk about a little bit more in another week. But it's good to be aware of these so that you can understand proper authority. Who are the sheltering trees in your life? Because every one of us must surrender to authority in life. See, there's going to be two different types of authority in our life. One of those, and this is the first bullet, is a chain of command. Now, the chain of command is a legal chain of responsibility that oversees your life, such as parents, employers, government agencies. There's a legal chain of responsibility where these entities are held responsible for your life by the law. However, at certain times, the chain of command may change. For instance, when a child becomes an adult and leaves home, he or she will no longer fall under this chain of command. Now they will fall under the chain of counsel. They will fall under the chain of counsel. A chain of counsel means that you submit to the advice of a pastor or an advisor or a counselor or a friend. Others might be lawyers or government agencies. Yes, even parents can be counsels. Even though parents are involved in that chain of command, as an adult child, you can seek your parents' advice in the chain of counsel. But you've got to understand, this is where things have now changed. You may be involved in some life groups or have been involved, or a small group. They can be your chain of counsel, people that you allow to speak into your life. One of the most important things about this chain of counsel will be the area of spiritual counsel. This part will keep watch over your soul. Hebrews 13, 17, just reference if you want to write it down. Hebrews 13, 17 says, "Obey your leaders, submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls." They keep watch over your souls. "Those who will give an account, they will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you." These shepherds, counselors, whether it's a pastor or whether it's a small group leader, whether it's a counselor, whoever it might be involved in your chain of counsel, these people will give an account on your behalf, the Bible says. So submit to their authority is what it's saying. We must understand this earthly chain of counsel. If we don't, how are we going to be under God's authority? If we can't understand and submit to earthly authority, then we'll never begin to understand what true divine authority is all about. Still, it's sometimes difficult to deal with authorities that are not so good, though, isn't it? It can be a struggle at times. This can happen at work, at school, even at home. Nonetheless, remember, although we may fall under different authorities, number two, write this down, know that God is able to work through authority to accomplish His will. Number one, we must all be under authority. But number two, if you come to a place in life where you're saying, I've seen some of the authorities, and they scare me. I don't know what to think about that. Know this, God is able to work through them. The moment we question the fact that God has put somebody in authority, what we're questioning is if God can work through them or not. God says He is able to work through that authority to have His will accomplished. God is able. Don't ever think that God is not able. He can make the most impossible, He can take the most impossible circumstances and bring forth an unimaginable miracle. God can do it. We see in Daniel how he worked through the authority figures that were placed in his life. Daniel 6, 21 says that Daniel, he worked through poor authority figures. He even had to be gracious to a king who cast him to a certain lion's death. How would you like that? You know, you're called to submit to this authority, and the guy goes, dude, I'm sorry, I really like you, but because of this edict that I signed, I've got to throw you in with a bunch of lions. I think at that point, my surrendering and submitting to his authority would have come to an end. I think I'd have been running, trying to spare my neck. But yet, even in the midst of that, he was thrown into the lion's den. And the next day, the king, he didn't want to do it. He came running out. Why did he come running out? Because he loved Daniel. Why did he love Daniel? Because Daniel was a man who submitted to his authority. So all of a sudden, he gets out and he says, oh, king, live forever. My God sent an angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me. Inasmuch as I was found before him and also towards you, O king, I have committed no crime. In all of that, he said, I still submit to your authority. Even in the midst of all of this, what you meant for harm, God meant it for good. So God is able to work through leadership that may not be the best to accomplish the will that he has. You know, in dealing with poor authority, there's two things you'll have to distinguish in order to acquire a gracious spirit and how to handle it. One of them is going to be that we have to understand this position of authority God has placed in a person over your life. You're going to have to make sure to understand God has placed authority in that boss of yours or that supervisor. And when you recognize it, that's the first thing. You must come to terms with that. But secondly, you got to understand that there's going to be personal deficiencies in that person's life. So this isn't in your outline. So if you're looking for number one and two, it's not there. I'm just talking. But you're going to have to understand that if God's placed an authority in your life, He's placed it there. We're to submit to that. You say, but they've got some deficiencies in their life. Okay, that might be true. They may have some deficiencies in their life. But what we have to understand is we still fall under that authority that God has placed, even though there might be some deficiencies. God's able to work through that. God's able to take care of you. You might say, how can I submit to a leader? Now, barring any wrong decision that might be illegal, barring any decision that might be, obviously contradicting the Word of God, you might just say, well, my boss, if my boss is stealing money, that's one thing. But if my boss is just a jerk, well, that's another. You mean I still have to submit to that? God's Word says yes, because He can still work through that. God is able to work through leadership even when it's questionable. And He says we must appeal to those in authority. And this is a tough one, because without showing your hands, you heard that, right? Okay, don't show your hands. But how many of you are in a job situation, circumstance, that right now is very difficult for you to submit to their authority? It's going to be, I would guess it's over 50% of us in here. You find something that irks you, something that you don't agree with, but the question on the floor is not, do you disagree and are they wrong so you can be right? The question is are you surrendering to their authority, trusting that God can work through this? Or are you trusting yourself more than you're trusting God? He says, we are to appeal to those in authority. Be under authority. Know that God can work through difficult bosses or supervisors or situations in life. But he gives us a few keys, and he says this. Number three says, when appealing to those in authority, I want to give you five things that will help us when appealing to those in authority, because it'll help. Number one, write it down. Establish a history of support. Daniel 11:1 says, in the first year of Darius the Mede, I arose to being an encouragement and a protection for him. This is going to be hard right here, okay? Daniel lost one king, in comes another king. This king is not the best king. He doesn't really agree with everything he's saying. But how did Daniel survive? How did Daniel succeed? He said, here it is, 11 verse 1. In the first year of the new man, Darius the Mede, I, Daniel, arose to being what? An encouragement and a protection for him. Him, Darius the Mede. See, Daniel was known before these kings as a man who would be encouraging, as a man who would be protective of their interest. Even when a new king took over, he would keep Daniel because he knew that Daniel would not cause mutiny. He knew that Daniel would not be slanderous or cause dissension among the ranks. He would protect and serve the king's best interests. Daniel understood that position of authority. He didn't just see a man. He saw the position of authority and respected that because God placed it there. The question is in your workplace or in your home or wherever it is that you're at, where there's the questionable authority, what do you see that God has placed and how are you doing at honoring that? Because the quicker you get there, the quicker you'll see God honor you. The quicker you'll see God honor you. So when appealing to those in authority, the first thing we've got to do is establish a history of support. Long before a conflict arises, the first thing we must do is be a strong support for whatever authority has been placed in or through our lives. Number two, we've got to check our motives. We've got to check our motives. Why do you appeal to or push back on a person's authority? Why do we do that? Typically, it's not because we are so smart and we are so wise and they're just wrong, so, nice try, but let me tell you how to do it. That's very disrespectful, and we do that to everybody. Yeah, that happens often. It happens often. What's the motive behind that, though? The motive behind that is we want you to know that we know more than you. Or maybe, I don't think you deserve that promotion. I deserved it. So therefore, I'm going to do everything I can to make your life miserable. There's always a motive behind why we do what we do. Remember, even if that authority is bad, if you submit correctly and have a right attitude, God can still develop you and all that He wants you to be. So if you've ever had a bad day, a bad job, a bad boss, or difficult situations, and you said, oh God, if you just get this one out of here and bring another one in, I'm going to tell you, what's going to come in is just a whole nother authority figure. The key is not finding the greatest boss or the greatest supervisor. The key is finding a heart that learns to submit to authority. Because when you can do that for one and all, because you're doing it first and foremost to Him, then your heart will be fluid. It will be flexible. You'll be able to find God in everything and in everywhere you go. But when we struggle and appeal to those in authority, we got to check our motives. We've got to check our motives. Some people say, well, you don't know my parents. You don't know my boss. You don't understand the situation. No, I don't know, and I don't understand all that. And I don't want to right now, because if I tried to help you understand that, I'd just make it worse. But God can help you with it. God knows exactly where you live. God knows exactly what's going on, not just in your heart and in your workplace, but in your boss's heart and workplace, or your spouse's heart and where she's at, or your parents or your elder or your whatever. Fill in the blank. God says, but the moment that you become an encouragement and a protection for that position of authority, God will cause you to be fruitful. What I'm about to say is very critical, because sometimes we're going to have knowledge about, we live in a world, it's an information world. Have you known that? One word, Google. If you don't know how to do something, Google. You can do anything. How do I make, Play-Doh from scratch? Google will tell you how to do that. If you don't know how to tie a bow tie, Google, it will tell you how to do that. Here's the sad part. If you want to know how to make a bomb, Google will tell you how to do it. You can go on there and find out how to get away with things and manipulate and maneuver around the law and find these loopholes and grandfather clauses and all that. Google will help you. We live in such an information world. But once we come to a place of understanding authority, we've got a challenge, because authority says this: I am going to develop submission. I'm going to develop humility. I'm going to develop wisdom and insight and respect. And when you do that, then you start to grow. Things start to become fruitful. But there's going to come times when you're going to get some information about somebody or something. You ever see this when somebody says, I don't know if I should say something, but did you know? It's at those moments that you need to say, if you don't think you should say something, then don't tell me. But you see, our motives at that moment are to gossip. Our motives at that time are to share information, because we want to feel good about ourselves by putting somebody else down. Sometimes the motives will be, we want to feel like we have more information, because the more information we have, then we're actually smarter, even though they may have the supervisor title. We know what's going on. But that's unwise. That's a disrespect towards authority, with a motive that says, I'm not here to watch their back, I'm here to watch mine. And that's going to be a problem. It will cause a downfall. In this world of information, we may just get some information about somebody, and what authority says is, it says, protect and guard. We may have to protect and guard. Now, I'm not saying if you find out somebody's a mass murderer, keep that to yourself. There's a responsibility we have. But have you ever had anyone share information with you about a real struggle they're going through, and if anyone else found out, it'd be completely embarrassing and humiliating and destroy their reputation, and you're going, oh man, I can destroy them in a heartbeat. And God says, protect that and guard that. Why? Because that might be, you might find that out about an authority figure, and you will be tempted to want to tell people, not because you want to look so good, though that would be part of it, but you want to destroy them in the process so you can have that position of authority. We're all wired to want these things. But God says, submit to that authority. There was a group of people. There was a city a long time ago where the people were so brilliant. Their knowledge was unfathomable. I can't say the word now. It's that word I'm trying to say. Their knowledge was so great, they figured they would design their own city and build it and compete with God. And because they had this knowledge and this technology, they went crazy. And it's when they started to construct the Tower of Babel. They started to get this information, and they used the information that they were receiving so that they could become like God. And God says, we got to confuse their language. Why? Because they're taking that information they have and they're using it with the wrong motive to try to become a God. So we're going to confuse their language. See, with the information that they had, they were using it in a wrong way. And God, sometimes you may get a hold of some information, and the question will always be, what's the motive of your heart? Why are you doing what it is that you're doing? There's an elderly man that was on a beach, and he found a magic lamp, and he picked it up. Don't you love these magic lamp stories we find on the beach? Picked it up, and a genie popped out, and he said, I will grant you a wish. And the man thought for a moment and responded, my brother and I, we've been fighting for 30 years. We fought 30 years ago, and we haven't talked. I just wish that he would finally forgive me. There's a thunderclap, and bang, the genie said, done, taken care of. Your wish has been granted. The genie continued, most men would have asked for wealth or fame, but you only wanted the love of your brother. He's so impressed by that. He says, is it because you're old and you're dying? He said, no, it's because my brother's old and dying and he's worth $60 million. His motive was to correct the relationship so he could get something. A lot of times that's what we can find ourselves guilty of. Not correcting our hearts because we want them to be corrected before God. Correcting our hearts because we want something out of somebody. And he says, be very careful of the motives of your heart. Number three, write this down. I'm skipping over a verse I know, and that's okay. You can read it later. Another thing when dealing with authority is, with the right attitude, know that we have the opportunity to present a creative alternative. When you're dealing with authority, and you're coming to a place of understanding what it means to surrender and to submit when appealing to those in authority, establish a history of support, check your motives, and then with the right attitude, present a creative alternative. What good is it if the only time you come and talk to your boss or your leader, anyone that's an authority over you, is when you have a problem? Next time, go to your boss, your leader, your whoever, and go to them with the problem and then come with them also with a creative solution. Don't be the chronic complainer or the whiner saying what always is wrong. Do something you can with the right attitude to try to create an alternative that will bring an improvement. If you're a chronic complainer, you're about as welcome as a wet diaper and probably about as effective as one too. You're not going to get anywhere. But when you come with solutions that help solve the problem, then God and your leaders can use that. Number four, you got to give God time to change hearts. You got to give God time to change hearts. Proverbs 16:23 says, the heart of the wise instructs his mouth and adds persuasiveness to his lips. But even though you may have shared that, you got to give God time to work on the hearts and the lives of people. Is there somebody in authority over you that you just want them to change tomorrow, now? You know, you got to give God time. Do you pray for those that are in authority over you? Do you lift them before God? Do you ask God to speak to them and give them wisdom? We've got to give God time. God takes time to allow people to change. 2 Peter says, the Lord's not slow about his promise, as some count slowness. But he is patient towards you and I, not wishing for any to perish, but all to come to repentance. So give God time. But not only that, number five, be faithful in the role that God has placed you. Which means continue to faithfully do what God has asked you to do. What is God's role for you? And then continue in that. You know, you're going to find times in life where you may not agree with what God does, you may not agree with what your boss does, but the question is are you willing to submit to God's authority? I remember years ago when there was a president who was elected, and I wasn't in agreement. And I remember, I was young, and I thought I knew everything. Now I'm just older and still think I know everything. But I remember when this president was elected, I was sitting in one of our houses, and they announced this guy was president. And I said, I will never, was it respect? I had to be careful. I made a big, great error here. But God used this. I said, I will never respect his authority. And when I said it, it was kind of like eating a lemon. So you eat it, and it's kind of like lemons are good, but you kind of go, it's a little sour, you know. And I remember God showing up. Now, God didn't show up and say, what are you thinking, Jim? He didn't do that. He just kind of showed up and said, never? Really, never? And I was like, well, yeah, never. I mean, look. And that's when God turned the tables and said, no, he said, look. He said, you may not agree with everything that you see, and you may not agree with everybody that's been placed in authority, but I've not asked you to agree with them. I've asked you to agree with me. And he says, because when you agree with me, then I can accomplish my will through that person's life. Yeah, they may not be the best, or you may not agree with them, but not everyone's going to agree with you either, Jim. But when people respect that, then I can work in and through their lives. And when I work in and through their lives, then fruitfulness will come. But if we're not willing to respect authority, there will be no fruit. And if there is no fruit, then people will get angry, and they will go out looking for the fruit on their own and miss the true blessing that I have. It all starts with respecting authority. You know, I learned a great lesson that day. I never forgot that. And I started to pray for that leader. Did I agree with every choice they made? No. But that's okay. You don't have to agree with every choice your boss, your employer, your pastor, your teacher, your coach makes. But what you must do is you must pray for them. You must show respect for that position, and in doing so, God says that there will be fruit in your life. We are going to continue through the next 6 weeks. This just kind of sets the stage, talking about authority. Next week, we're going to go into Genesis, we're going to go back to the beginning, and we're going to learn how God has set this up so that we can walk not only in the victory, but we can learn to experience that and share that throughout our lives. All right? You ready for this? Will you pray with me? Father, I want to ask this morning that you would just seal in our hearts that which we've talked about. Just talking about authority and setting the stage, Lord God, we're asking you to show up in a mighty way. Lord, I ask that you would just let yourself be made known and be made real to each and every one of us, because we do not want to walk in a power trip. We want to walk in the power of your Spirit. Lord God, we don't want to leave here today and say that we don't, maybe we don't understand everything, but Lord, this one thing we know is that you've called us to surrender to you. And when we choose to do that, you will help us in every little thing that we face throughout this week. Lord, we want to give you the glory and the honor in all that we do. And I simply want to ask this. If you're here today, I don't want to let this opportunity get away. And the greatest authority of all to surrender to is a relationship with Christ, and you've not done that. I just want to give opportunity for this. If you're here today and you've not asked Jesus into your heart, you've not given him that place, and today you want to do that, would you just raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to point you out. You know that there's something in you that there's a void, and you need to make that right. If that's you, just simply raise your hand. Wait for just a moment. I agree with you that God sees your heart and your hand, and he will lead you and he will guide you. And as you surrender to that, he will bring a fruitfulness in your life, not because of what you've done and who you are, but because of his great love for you. Is there any other hearts here today? Okay. Well, Father, we receive your word. We take it today. And Lord, I pray that you just prepare our hearts for the next few weeks. That Lord, we'd understand what it means to walk in authority. Because to walk in authority and to have authority means that we're willing to submit to authority. Teach us that. Show us spiritually what that means in our life. Not just physically at our workplaces, but spiritually in our lives. We ask in your name. Amen. Amen. Will you stand with me this morning? And it's going to be a fun journey. It's going to be very interesting. This is a topic that people usually want to talk about when they want somebody else to respect their authority, but don't want to talk about when it means that they have to submit to an authority. So we're going to learn this balance as God takes us through this, because there's a freedom that God gives. There's keys to the kingdom the Bible talks about, where he says, these keys that I give to you are to unlock these doors. We have communion. Dear Lord, I forgot that. Is that why y'all been staring at me funny? Have a seat. Ushers, run up here as fast as you can. How did I forget that? The plates are right there. Remember that authority I was talking about, that even though they screw things up and they do things wrong, you love them right where you're at. Okay, let's do this. Mike, where you at? There you go. Where's the microphone?
Dear Lord,
there you go.
We love you. This we do in remembrance of you. Thank you for your body that you broke for us, Lord. Thank you for this saving grace. In Jesus Christ's beautiful name, amen.
How did I forget that? Ushers, with the grace of God, run. I apologize. This is the first time I've ever. Have you ever forgotten communion? Just say yes and make me feel good.
He almost forgot it a couple times.
We are. And I appreciate that very much. In the communion we do, we don't downplay this as a hoop that we jump through. This is about taking time and surrendering and submitting to the true authority that God's placed in our lives. You know, when we gather together today, you're going to learn in the next few weeks, ekklesia is a Greek word for the church. And God says that we're to be the church. We're to be his ecclesia. And as we gather together to take communion right now, we will make mistakes as a family. We will forget things as a family. We will have times where we trip and we fall. But the question is not do you stay down there, do you get back up? Today we're able to celebrate what God did for us, because without this, we would not have that second chance. Without Jesus going to the cross, we wouldn't have an opportunity to say, God, forgive me, I repent. But because of the great thing that he did, Today we can come and celebrate and say, thank you, Jesus, for the price that you paid. That's a great thing. How many times we take it for granted? And gentlemen, come forward whenever you serve. Because without him, we cannot accomplish anything that he's set in our lives. So, Father, we do this in remembrance of you this morning, thanking you for the price that you paid. May we eat together. And gentlemen, if you'll serve us and if you'll hold your portion, we will partake together. Now, maybe you're here this morning. One of the things you've been struggling with is the fact that you want to see something move in your life that just hasn't seemed to move. Maybe it's a season in your life. Maybe it's a career. Maybe it's a move. Whatever it is. I believe that God's leading us into a now moment. So this morning, we ask the kingdom of God to come now. I believe that God is in preparation of making those now moments that when he speaks, we simply obey. We understand to walk in that anointing and in that authority. And I believe that as God releases that in our lives and as we surrender to that, we will see God accomplish more in us and through us. So, Father, today we just say thank you for the blood that you shed. We thank you for the price that you paid, knowing that all authority has been given to you and you have given that to us so that no matter what we face in life, we can have that authority over it. So, Lord, we thank you for what you've done and we receive this today in your name. Amen. Will you stand with me this morning and we'll try this again? Thank you for being gracious with me. I saw everyone's face and I thought, why are they looking at me like that? I could not figure it out. And then my face reflected off the communion plate here and I was like, thank you so much for, you have to say that, you're my dad. I love you guys and I know you love me too. Walk out today in these principles of authority, prepare your heart. Prepare your heart. I believe this is going to be a great season where God's going to reveal some things. Some are going to be maybe not as pleasant, but I tell you what, the fruit that comes out of it is going to be amazing. God bless you. You're dismissed.